10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
How many times have you ever seen your doctor walk into a waiting room? I do. How many times did the doctor ever peek his head into the waiting room? You know why? He or she was afraid. They were afraid to go into the waiting room. They are stuck in their stiff white coats, and they have this drama that they play out in the exam room where there's an unfair advantage, where a doctor is here and a patient is there. You're undressed, you're unrobed, but in a waiting room, everybody is equal. And besides, half the time, you guys are pissed off because you've already been in your waiting room, in the waiting room for 30, 40, 50 minutes, an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours. Of course, no doctor is going to walk into a waiting room with angry patients, but you want to know what the secret is? There's power in that waiting room. There's juice in that waiting room. There is so much love in that waiting room. There is so much need in that waiting room that just by popping in and saying hello, popping in and telling a joke, popping in, sitting down, talking to a patient, finding out how their kids are or what they had for lunch, and then you leave. But you know what? You made a difference just by stepping into that waiting room. And by doing that, by stepping into a waiting room, it changed my life. It changed the lives of thousands of people. Today we're going to talk about that secret. Today we're going to talk about that juice. Today we are going to learn about a woman by the name of Beth, who changed the cancer world forever. This episode is called The Waiting Room. This is Dr. Tom Iannelli, and this is the Croc Podcast. Howdy, friends, and welcome back to the Croc Podcast, a podcast for cancer survivors by cancer survivors. I am your host, and it is my great honor to be here with you. And it is an exciting day for me because today is really the first podcast in what I hope to be a million podcasts. I've spent the last 35 years as a radiation oncologist, and I feel like I've been a grad student for the last 25 years, 35 years in the School of Cancer Survivorship, learning from the greatest and most courageous people in the world. Today's episode for number one took quite a lot of thought. If you think about it, I have so many ideas and so many things to share with you, so many hints, so many tricks, so many shortcuts, so much insight to share with you, all of which was garnered and gleaned from my years observing cancer survivors and treating cancer survivors. And when it came down to it, having all those ideas, there was really only one subject I thought would be appropriate to be the first podcast. And that would be a podcast about what really changed my perspective about survivorship. And to be honest with you, it's not that I am that special, because any oncologist or any practitioner in oncology that I've ever met in my long career has always known the secret that it's not just enough to be great at what you do to practice oncology. You can't just be a great doctor or a great surgeon or a great nurse or a great physicist or whatever. You have to be actually on a different level. You have to know that you have to go above and beyond that in order to serve the cancer survivor constituency. And we already knew that. And I think that the lesson that we're going to talk about today, the experience that sort of catapulted me into cancer survivorship advocacy, really happened, as I said, in that waiting room, in the power of that waiting room. I want you to imagine that you just got diagnosed with cancer. And I can't tell you how many of my patients have been told they have cancer on a telephone call or by an email or in the most impersonal way. And they say, you have to see this guy named Ianelli. He's going to give you radiation. That's all they know. They're absolutely mortified. They're freaked out. They're scared out of their wits. They think that they're going to get zapped and they're going to get burned. And they have no idea what's going on. They all think they're going to die. And that waiting room, just to kind of set the stage, is full of people with that fear. And because maybe I'm just a little slow, I never listened to the lectures in medical school that said, detach yourself from your patients. I must have missed that lecture. I am a frequent visitor to the waiting room. I sit down with my patients. I talk with them. I joke with them. But it really didn't stick, you know, until I met Beth Denninger. Beth Denninger probably didn't weigh a pound over 107, but she was a dynamo. If I met her in a dark alley, she's taken down my big butt 4 out of 5 falls. And the only time she's not bringing me down is when I outrun her. That's the only way that she's not bringing me down. She was tough. She was funny. She was loving. She was witty. And I think that going into that waiting room when Beth was a patient with breast cancer sort of took my interest in survivorship to a new level. And Beth befriended a woman by the name of Mary, and the two of them became fast friends, and they could not be any two different type people, both in their body habitus, both in their backgrounds, both in their personalities. But the one thing that they shared was they shared the bond of the waiting room. They shared the bond of cancer. And that bond, that energy, that nuclear explosion that you could only witness if you really take the time and go out to that waiting room is just dynamic. Just, I would recommend it for any student or any practitioner to get their butt into that waiting room and feel that juice. And that was the reason that I wanted to start with Beth, because what happened with Beth, we're going to talk about today with her husband, Al. Al, welcome to the podcast. You are our first guest. So you are either going to be remembered as a historic moment of either failure or success, and I hope it is of success.
Hi, Tom. Thank you. It'll be fine.
Yeah. So I just wanted to kind of, as we said, you know, Al and I could talk for hours and hours and hours, and we know that you don't have the time to listen to us, nor the interest. But what I wanted to do was really kind of provoke a memory of a great woman. So when Beth and I first started becoming friendly, so she was my patient first, and then we became friends, and then it became very, very clear to me that Beth represented something that was very special. She represented what I call a cancer survivor superhero. So we all have heard of super users and all these types of buzzwords in the technical world. But there are special patients, and Beth was one of them, who basically didn't think about their own lives so much, didn't think about their own cancer so much, but were really, really more interested in making the cancer survivor experience better, less scary for her colleagues in that waiting room. And when Beth challenged me to take Mary and herself and Bruno out to lunch on their last day of treatment, and I took that invitation, I put their appointments at 11:30, and I made sure my schedule was clear, and we went out for lunch. When I sat there, when I tell you that I was speechless, for me to be speechless, as you'll learn if this podcast continues to grow, is a very unusual circumstance. And I will tell you that I don't think I said one word except probably order my hamburger and pay the bill. I think that's probably the only two active things I did. The rest of the time, my mouth was agape, just watching the power that Beth produced in that small lunch for four people. And when I saw that, that was my inspiration to start our cancer survivor group. And I want to make sure that when we talk, I don't have an interest in utilizing this forum to at all glorify our cancer survivor group or make this a historical account of our cancer group over the last quarter century, but more to elevate and to thank your wife for what she did, because from that waiting room, from that lunch, came a cancer survivor group that basically used that formula of bringing survivors together, giving them opportunity to be together, giving them the opportunity to fellowship, to gather, to love, to hug, to cry, and to be together, to learn, to get access to resources. And that's kind of what this podcast is going to be, is a recapturing of that moment that Beth brought us. And just to put things in perspective, her, because of your wife, Al, thousands and thousands of people have profited from her example, from her formulaic approach to cancer survivorship. And I will tell you that the power of a life can be very striking and very dramatic. And Beth was that woman. And I want to also give you credit, Al, because even though I saw that there was that juice between cancer patients, this doesn't take anything away from the survivors' support group, whether it be their husband or their wife, or whether it be their children or their family or their friends or their coworkers. I don't want to minimize that, because I don't think there was a better example of a better partner, a better survivor supporter than you, who was by Beth's side for every picnic and every dinner and every event and fundraiser that we did. You were there. You were the guy with the tools. You were the guy who put things together. And it was your support that really had Beth live as long as she did. And after you guys moved to then survive two other cancers before the last one finally sort of was her last event. And I wanted to take this time in this podcast to memorialize this woman, to thank this woman, and to thank you, Al, for being part of that. And I was hoping you might be able to give us a personal insight to Beth, to give true power to my words, because I want to know who Beth is, if you don't mind sharing a few minutes with us to do that.
I don't mind at all, and I'm certainly honored. You hit it right as being partners. Beth had her agenda. She had the things that she wanted to do, and I was 1,000% behind her always to the last breath. And you know what? She was also likewise. You know, she was 100% support behind me and everything that I wanted to do. And we so enjoyed the times that we had with Croc, and couldn't believe that there was this doctor that would want to go out of his way to take one of his patients to lunch. I'll tell you a story about the first time we came to your office, if that's okay.
Sure. We'd love to hear it. Sure. As long as it is about Beth and not about me, y'all.
No, it's not about you. That was the last. yeah, I love you, man. I went with her, of course, the first time, and it was just a typical doctor's lot, you know, typical what we expected. And she felt a little bit more love than normal. And I offered, of course, the second time for the second meeting. I think it was down in the basement in Horton, down in the old hospital, around the back. I remember by the dumpsters, we'd go in around the back and go in that way. And Beth said, you know, she said, I want to go alone next time. She said, you don't have to come. And I was like, well, wait a minute. You know, we always go together. We're always each other's advocate. And she said, no, it's okay. It's okay. This is going to be okay. We're going to be okay. And then when she met Mary, of course, I mean, within, I would say, daily, I guess, the treatments, weren't they?
Yeah, every day. Yeah.
Within the first week, Beth was going early to her appointment. So because Mary's appointment was ahead of hers, and she would, go half an hour early to sit with Mary and to socialize. And that's just the way she was. Beth would make friends with anybody, anywhere. And here's the deal. And if I ever wanted to be honest, everybody came around us for Beth. I knew that. And I loved it. I mean, I ate it up. And I would do anything for her. I mean, of course, you know, that you mentioned that I was the MacGyver for all the things that she wanted to do. I was the guy that would make it happen in the back. And it was more than my pleasure to do that.
So, Al, can you express to the listeners the first couple of events that you went to and what a need was, would you say, uncovered? The fear that Beth was able to ameliorate, the amount of tears that turned into laughter. Our motto is turning tragedy into triumph, how she did that. Some of the first events with the Relay for Life and those barbecues, yeah, and those learning lessons. Can you be a fly on the wall and tell the listeners about how Beth would sort of be that super user, that superhero, that survivor, magnet of leadership and of that quelled so much fear and inspired so much hope?
You know, for Beth's, from her perspective, I don't think she saw this as a way of gaining anything or being getting anything going. I really don't. I think that in the beginning, I think she just, you know, I think you said it really well in one of those first meetings, was, you guys have been through hell, let's have some fun. And now you changed the tragedy to triumph, but I think that was the words or the feeling of the moment. And I was so impressed with that. And you know, you had me, you know, whatever you needed, and you still do today, you know, 20 some odd years later. But Beth was doing it from her own heart. She truly never, in 40 years of marriage, I knew her for a year before, I never saw the side of Beth that was afraid of cancer. I swear to God, I didn't. I never saw the side of her that was, it's going to take me. I know that she may have said that to other people in a very, very once or twice. But she didn't feel it. She didn't say it. All she wanted to do was to make everybody else comfortable and happy and keep them on the sunny side. You know, Beth was all about the sunny side of life, and there's no question about it. And she was always trying to bring the other person up from where they were, no matter where it was.
And I'll tell you, Al, she was a success. And I just want to say that my podcasting godfather sitting next to me, Angel Santana from Have Faith, Let It Begin, has told me, or I have listened on his podcast, if he is able to reach one person and touch one person in his podcast, then he is a very happy and blessed man. And I will tell you that the reason why that we are talking about Beth and expressing this experience is exactly that. I hope that this podcast reaches tens of thousands of survivors, but if it just reaches one that is able to gain inspiration from a life well-lived like Beth, or a partner or family member of a survivor who takes you as an example of how to best be that support mechanism to help that person get through their experience, then this podcast would have been a great success. Al, I want to thank you for being able to spend these few minutes with us to share these moments. I want to also invite you again in the future to come back as we start getting our podcast legs strong and start walking a little bit. Right now, we're still kind of crawling on our bellies and kind of just learning all about it. But if the constituency who listens to this podcast for the first time and is able to derive any benefit or positivity, it's really because of the example from your wife. Al, those words were beautiful, and I appreciate you sharing them and this time with us. Before we end today's first Sentinel podcast, I want to ask, if you have anything you'd like to say to our listeners.
I think what Beth probably, her example was, don't try to change the world. Just love everyone one at a time. That's all. Just one at a time. Let's just hug them and love them any way we can and lift them up.
And I'm going to close this session by telling everyone and challenging everyone to make sure that the next time you're in a waiting room, I want you to observe. I want you to look around. If you're in a good place and you're there for a follow-up and you're feeling good and you're going to get some good news, look around. See if there's anybody who's really scared. And go there and just put your hand on their wrist and tell them that everything is going to be all right because a little angel named Beth Denninger told you so. This is Dr. Tom Iannelli signing off the first Croc Cancer Survivorship Podcast. I welcome you to this journey. Peace.
Thank you for listening to the Croc Podcast. And now Dr. Tom Iannelli would like to thank the following people for their support.
We end this podcast as we will end every podcast on the Croc website here or on the Croc Podcast, and that would be with our shout-outs. We are grateful for Angel Santana, the greatest producer in the universe. Have Faith, Let It Begin. Please listen to his podcast. Rod Friedman from Small Biz Up. If you happen to have a small business and you need his assistance, he is the guy to go to. Special shout out to two people whose support is singularly responsible for the launching of this podcast. CharlotteLarson.net, who's a producer in Hollywood, who's done some great work. And a good boy, a local boy done good, MichaelJohnBenzaia.com, B-E-N-Z-A-I-A, who's making mountains move in Hollywood. Thank you for your support. And let's keep this podcast going.
Peace.